Well, good morning, church family. Can you believe it's been 7 years? Yeah, it has been. And you know what? I'm really impressed. Your pastor hasn't slowed down. He's still bouncing around here. Can't slow that guy down. We're certainly glad we have an opportunity to visit with you here this morning. We arrived back in December and have been pretty busy every weekend since. And this is going to go on again for another 9-10 weeks. We'll be on the road. So appreciate your prayers for that. I'd like to take a minute, because I know it's been 7 years, I'd like to just introduce you once again to our family. And four of our boys aren't here, but our daughter's here. So, and my wife, Terry, you want to stand up? It's my wife, Terry, and our daughter, Sophia. There you go. Smile, Sophia. And let me just tell you a little bit about Sophia. Sophia has special needs. She doesn't talk, but she will give you a fist bump or a high five. So if you want to interact with her, that's how you do it. Terry's here with me. We also have our four boys. We have two older boys that are out of the house. I like to say praise God for that. And then we have two still at home. Benjamin and Nathaniel are still at home. Jonathan, our oldest, and Sebastian are out of the house on their own, working and have ambitions of their own. Just yesterday, Benjamin got his license, so he's thrilled. He passed his driver's test, which I didn't know if he was going to, but he did, which is good. So that's our kind of our family. We've been in Iquique, Chile for the past 4 years, and now we will be home until January of 2025. So just to let you know where we're at and how long we're going to be here. So we'll be here for a little bit. Terry and I would like to share with you a little bit about what's been happening down in Chile, and we'd like to start with some lessons learned. Can we get the PowerPoint up, please? And she's going to come join me. We're going to do this tag team. I think this is the best way to do it. So if we can get that PowerPoint presentation up there. Yeah, here we go. Of course, Jonathan and Sebastian are not in the picture because they were not with us down in Chile. But we'd like to go over five lessons that we have learned, the top five lessons. We learned lots of lessons. We'd like to share with you five top lessons that we learned as we were going, as we were missionaries in Chile. So we're going to share with you a little bit about what we learned. Hopefully, it'll be a blessing to you.
And before we get started, I just want to give my thanks to you for supporting us these last 4 years. Our visit to this church was right before, if you were here, we were very, very close to being to the point where we could be fully funded and go on to language school. And so it was just an exciting time in our lives, and you guys pushed us over the edge so we could do that. And so we are so thankful for you. That's how we remember you. It was just a really exciting time in our lives. So we're glad to be back here to be able to share some of the lessons that we've learned. So we're going to go through each one of these. These were our top five lessons, not in any particular order, but we learned these in some very unique ways, and we'll share some stories. The first lesson was, it's not all about us. And then we learned that ministry is messy. Third, that God's ways are not our ways. That one we learned pretty quickly. Being like Christ is more effective than doing for Christ, or at least needs to come first. And lastly, when God calls, he equips and provides.
So it's not all about us. It's really not. Who's it about? It's about Christ, right? And of course, we knew that, or at least we said we knew it. And we, of course, in the church, we preach that. But to put it into practice is something a little different, right? To put that into daily practice. It's not about me. It's about Christ and what he did. And I learned that God has to humble us so that we get to this point where it's not all about us. He has to humble us in our heart, in our minds, in what we do. We have to be humbled. We need to be willing to do whatever God has called us to do, whenever that is, even in the midst of a busy day. We need to stop and let him be first. In Romans 12, 3 through 5, it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one in body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And can I tell you about this picture for a minute? The man that you see in the middle, this is a man that Pastor Alejandro, who was on the right, and I were discipling. We were sharing the gospel with him. And soon after this picture, he had to leave. Well, what do you do? How do you stay in contact? That's one of the things that we found was very difficult. God had a plan in this. God had a plan in us meeting him and sharing with him. And then he moved on. Now, we were frustrated, but God knew that. God knew what was going to happen. And it wasn't about us. It wasn't about another number. Sometimes I think we believe that. We think that. It's not about another person coming to know Christ. It's about God's plan in that person's life. Amen. And so he went on, and as far as I know, what we shared with him, he's now living out. So that's all I can tell you. That's all I can report. But we've been praying for this gentleman, and he knows now, more than he did before, about Christ. So we had an impact on his life. I can't tell you he's saved, but I can tell you that God interceded in his life through us for a time. And it's not about me. It's about God. So he's got a plan for this gentleman.
The second lesson that we learned is that ministry is messy. We learned this over and over and over again, working with a lot of immigrants, a lot of people that had moved into Chile. In our video that I think we're going to show in Sunday school, we talk about the fact that COVID, which hit 6 weeks after we arrived for our first term and locked us down for a while, it brought in a lot of immigrants into Chile. There already had been a movement into Chile, but during that time, it just got crazy. And we lived up north where they were able to come over the border illegally from Peru or Bolivia. But they were coming from places like Venezuela, from Colombia, you know, from further north and coming down into Chile. And at one point, we were just overwhelmed. There were tents everywhere. I mean, it was quite chaotic. And these people began to find us as a result of our ministry, Florece, in particular, because we had a lot of moms who were having babies, and they found us, and we were able to meet their needs. So these photos here are showing a place that is called a toma, which is basically any land that's kind of open, where nobody's living. People will take it over, and they will put up almost like a shanty town. They'll put up houses with plywood or cardboard or whatever they have, and they claim that land, and they begin to live there. Well, this is an area within Iquique, within the city of Iquique. There's some really big tomas up in Alto Hospicio, above Iquique, but this one is within the confines of our city. And right before, or it was like at the beginning of, I want to say 2021, there was a fire that went through this whole place. And you can just imagine, I mean, it just burned everything because there's not much there. And one of our young women who had just started coming to Florece because she was pregnant lived in this toma. And so right before her baby was due, this fire occurred, and they had to quickly rebuild. And that's what you can see, the plywood here in the middle, sort of. That was a room that they built so they could have a place to sleep. But then next to that, which you can see over here, and I think on the far right, they needed a place to cook. And so they just put up like sheets, and it was open, and they had like a camp stove, and that's where they were doing their cooking. Well, Cecilia, this young lady, and her partner, Diego, began to attend church slowly after the baby was born. She had made a commitment to Christ with me in her counseling and started to grow a little bit. Diego, not so much, but he would come every now and again. And during the course of this, they shared that everything that they would put into that kitchen area kept getting stolen, which you can imagine, it's just wide open. And so we prayed about it, talked about it. We had a benevolence fund, which if you've read our newsletters, you knew we had that. And so we decided that we could purchase the materials for Diego to fill that in and make another room. So we did that. The men took Diego to the hardware store. They bought all the wood, all the stuff that he would need. And we should have taken video the day we climbed up here. We were stepping on chairs and over. It was crazy to get up to where this was. And so they got the stuff up there. And then all of a sudden, Diego and Cecilia disappeared. They stopped coming to church. We were like, where are they? We just bought this stuff for them. Well, long story short, we found out they had moved from Iquique down to Santiago, which is the capital city, about 1,000 miles away. And the reason they gave us for moving was that there was work. That's where work was. And we got to thinking, how in the world did they do that? Because they didn't have any money. We just bought all this stuff for them to build this room. And in the course of my conversation with her, I asked, what about the stuff we just bought? You know, is it safe? Oh, yeah, it's safe, it's safe. Well, longer story short, we found out that they sold what we had bought them with the benevolence funds to build this in order to move down to Santiago. And basically, we haven't had much contact with them since then. So ministry is messy. You know, that's not what we would have wished or wanted. But what we did learn, too, is even in the messiness, we just need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Did we make a mistake in purchasing those items? I don't think so. Because God gave us peace, we did it, and he's doing a work in their lives where they are.
I love this. Up here in the left-hand corner, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide to not be defined by them. How many times have we thought, this is a crazy thing that happened? Well, it might be crazy, but at times, it's not up to us. And you can decide whether or not you're going to be defined by what happens to you. Sometimes we can only do what we can do for individuals in ministry or just in your daily life. We have to ask the Lord to lead us. We have to be willing to follow him and do that which he has called us to do. And remember that especially in ministry, not every story has a happy ending. Not every story has a happy ending. Read James 2:14 through 17 with me. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, we'll get into what that means a little bit later because there's more to that story as well. But I want to have Terry share a story with you, a good story.
So not all of our stories, you know, can be tied up in a neat little bow. And that's what we had to learn because ministry is messy. And sometimes we had people who were defined by their circumstances and couldn't get beyond that. But other times, God brought us people who were not. And that's Maria Julia. In these pictures, this is her baptism right before we left Chile the end of last year. She followed the Lord and Believer's baptism. Maria Julia is from Bolivia. She came to Florece when she came over to Chile to escape an abusive partner who was the father of her three older children. And her mother lived in Iquique, so she came over to Iquique to escape the abuse. When she arrived in Iquique, she realized she was pregnant, again, by this gentleman, and she wasn't really didn't want anything to do with him and did not want to carry this baby. So she came to Florese seeking an abortion. Well, we were able to share with her. We have a woman who does a fabulous job at counseling abortion-minded women, and she came and was able to talk with our sister Cata there and chose life for her child, but also chose life for herself, spiritual life, as she accepted Christ as her Savior. She began to grow. She came regularly to Florese for all of her appointments. She brought her mom and her aunt, and they also got saved, and they began to attend our church, and it was just beautiful. The whole family, she'd bring all the kids, and they would come to church, and towards the end of last year, she decided she wanted to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Well, soon after we arrived in the States in December, we got news that this abusive partner of hers had shown up in Iquique. And he ended up kidnapping basically the three older kids, taking them back to Bolivia. And with all of, I know it sounds in our like American minds like, oh, how can that be? There should be a legal recourse. There's really no legal recourse for her at this point, going over country lines with no papers, you know, things like that. And so essentially her children are now living in Bolivia with this man who is slowly turning those three children against their mom. And she doesn't know, you know, when she's going to be able to see them again. It has not been easy for Maria Julia to follow the Lord. And in all of that, and I kept thinking, is she going to be faithful? You know, is she, what's going to happen here? But she continues to grow. She continues to be faithful. I wrote to her earlier this year, and I just to encourage her, tell her we were praying for her. And I told her that we share her story when we visit churches. And she said, please continue to do that because if my story can help someone, I want my story to be shared. That's a young woman who's recently come to know Christ, and yet she understands the impact of her faith on others. And so ministry is messy, and sometimes there's happy endings, sometimes there's not, or sometimes there's something in the middle, but God continues to do a work in the hearts of the women and the families that we've ministered to.
God's ways are not our ways. How many of you have figured this out? Yeah, they're not. When we arrived to Chile back in 2020, 6 weeks after we arrived, guess what happened? What happened? No, that was a little bit later. But we had a lockdown. We had a lockdown of the world in, 2020. And it was incredible. We just get in country without our stuff at this point. We received our belongings right before the lockdown. But we were locked down for 2 years, basically, off and on. We were able to go out twice a week for 2 hours at a time for groceries. That was it. So a lot of stuff happened online. You remember that? Not too good. That's not what we would have wanted or what we had envisioned our first month and a half would be like there in Chile. But that's what God had in mind for us in that time. And he worked through that in our lives and in the lives of others. I want to have Terry tell you another story.
So the couple, the young couple in this photo there in the middle, this is Andres and Rosaida and their daughter Veronica. They are Cuban. They had arrived in Chile before we did. Rosaida came to know Christ at Florese through attending her classes and things. When we arrived, Veronica was just a baby. She had been born not too long before we arrived. Andres, he said that he accepted Christ in Cuba at some point, but he was never really faithful in his time there in Chile. But Rosaida was, and I got to know her. She became a really dear friend, was able to disciple her, and she still to this day is a dear friend. And they were such hard workers in Chile. They lived in a variety of crazy situations, wanting to work, wanting to make things work for themselves there. But at one point, Andres's visa ran out. He had entered Chile on a refugee visa from Cuba because he was a political dissident. He could not return to Cuba or he would have been thrown in jail. And so he had come to Chile. They had given him the refugee visa, but they weren't willing to renew it. And this was right before Biden came into took office here in the United States. And so when Biden took office and it was kind of obvious that our southern border was going to become very porous, they decided that their only option was to come to the United States. Well, we had mixed feelings about that for a variety of reasons, but a big reason was safety. So if you can imagine your geography, they were going to go from Chile all the way up through the border, the Mexican border, by foot. I mean, they weren't going to fly or anything. They were going to make their way. I mean, that's how it's done. And we were very, very concerned for the welfare of Veronica, their daughter. She's a beautiful little girl. But they basically had no other recourse. They couldn't stay in Chile. They couldn't return to Cuba. Let's go to the United States. And so one day they took off. She didn't even say goodbye. They had to go when the border was open. And we just prayed. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We didn't hear a lot from them on the journey, just here and there as they had some recourse with their phones. But they did make it into the United States. They have since done everything legally to get their residency. But whatever happened on that journey, which they don't talk a whole lot about, it changed Andres. Andres, when he arrived in the States, we hooked them up with a church in Houston, in the Houston area, where I knew the pastor's wife from, she was an MK from Argentina, and so we had a connection there. And he immediately wanted to be baptized. He became active in the church. God just changed him on that journey. And while they had been married, and not very many of our clients do get married, they had gotten married legally in Chile. They had wanted to do that after Rosaida became a Christian, but they had never been married in the church. And so it became a desire of theirs to get married before God. They wanted to make things right and do things right. And so in September of 2022, I was able to come back to the United States because they wanted me to be at the wedding. And I was able to see God bring this couple full circle. And while I missed them, our church missed them, we would have loved for them to be part of our ministry in Chile, God had other plans for them. It wasn't our ways, it was his. And they are now married. They have since had a baby. She was actually pregnant here. So they've been married now by the church or before the Lord and are doing well. And we just praise the Lord for stories like this where, you know, had we had our way, we would have kept them there and tried to protect them there. But no, God had other things in mind for them. And so we thank the Lord for that.
I love this verse. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God's ways are not our ways, but he's got a purpose in it all. And it's been a blessing to see that in the lives of those that we have ministered to over the past 4 years. The next one is, the next lesson that we learned is probably the most important to me personally. Being like Christ is more effective than doing for Christ. I just heard a story of a couple that had been very, very devout in the church. The wife was very involved and the husband very involved in church and doing things in the church. All of a sudden, the wife decides she's going to leave her husband. Something happened, I don't know what, but she left. And I'm thinking, how can you do that? You were so involved. Have you ever heard this story before? You've heard other stories that are similar. Why? Why does that happen? This is why. Because people are doing for Christ when they should be becoming what Christ has called us to be. We are called to be something different, not to do something different. But the doing can look like being. And that's where we go astray. In the New Testament, we're given several examples of this. We're told to put on certain things, put off certain things, be the light, be the salt. It's talking about being something different, not necessarily doing something different. It's being something different.
These three photos here of individuals that remind us of this lesson. The two women on either side are women that I was able to counsel at Florece and disciple, had in our homes a lot, became good friends with. Both of these young women have young children about the same age. They're about 2 going on 3 here soon now, and born during COVID. And both of them have grown considerably in their faith, especially this gal here on the left, Jelena is her name. It hasn't been easy at all for these young women, but they have been growing. But the one on the right here, I love this photo. You can't see her face. This is Charmelle. But this is the first time that she served the Lord at church. She was so scared to do anything in front of anyone. And so what we tried to do was incorporate these women who had come to know Christ into our women's ministry by having them lead the game. You know, and you might think, well, that's not a big deal. But for them, it was a big deal. But we were so proud of them. And this was the first time she did it. She was nervous, but she did it. She served the Lord. And there was just such a huge smile on her face. She felt so good about that. But she also is the one who kind of brought this lesson to light towards the end of our time in Iquique. She was in our home a lot, as I said. She did some work for us and things, and we were just really trying to encourage her however we can. And she came to me and she said, you know, she said, I want to thank you for showing me what a godly marriage and a godly family should look like. She didn't have that at all in her home. She does not have that at all in her home. And that, I got to thinking about that. You know, she was in our home a lot. She saw, you know, when we were behaving well, and then probably when some of us weren't behaving so well, she saw it all, because we are not perfect, and yet it made an impact on her. And that was kind of what really drew me to this lesson. We are sometimes the only Jesus that these people are going to see. And we can be his hands and his feet. That's one thing I often write in our newsletters. Thank you for letting us be your hands and feet as you send us. And it really is important to be like Christ because we're being watched. The gentleman in the middle, Pablo, he's a young man. He literally came to our doorstep during COVID. God brought him. We mentioned that in our video that you're going to see. He delivered the Chinese food that we ordered because we couldn't go out and buy food, so we ordered it and he brought it to our house. He was the delivery guy. And when he realized we spoke English, he said he wanted to learn English, so we had him in our home, and he's become a friend. Pablo grew up in a church. It wasn't what we would really consider a good evangelical church, but he grew up in a church that did a lot more doing than being. And he was burned by that, spiritually abused, you could call it, and now is very, very hesitant about trusting Christians and Christianity. But he trusts us. And so we were able to be like Christ to him, and hopefully through our actions and our words, show him what it means to be a believer, not just say it or do it and then not do it. And so this was a lesson that was really, really important for us, and I think one that we all could learn.
But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, but make no provision for the flesh. Make Christ your identity, who you are. The last lesson we learned was when God calls, he provides and equips. Soon after we arrived in Chile, we told you we had the lockdowns. And that was a very discouraging time for us, and we thought for sure we were going to lose support, and we might even be recalled back to the States. We didn't know. Nobody knew at the time. So we didn't really know what was going to happen. But God provided all through that season of our lives, and he equipped us during that season. Even though it looked different, and it was different, and sometimes difficult, but it was different than what we had gone there thinking we would do. He was in control, and he helped us through that period of our lives.
And as we move forward into our second term, we know God will continue to provide and equip. He'll give us the words to say when we need them, not before. Dave struggled a lot with his language learning. We've mentioned that in a lot of our prayer letters, but God always helped him and equipped him when he needed it. We are being moved now by the Lord to Santiago, which is the capital city of Chile. It's a city of 8 million people versus like the 275,000 that were in Iquique. So a much bigger city. It is the city where I grew up because my parents were missionaries there, but it's grown considerably. I think there were 5 million people there when I grew up there, and so now there's 8 million. And one of the reasons, a big reason that we're moving is to be able to use our giftings a little bit better. We were asked to consider coming and being part of an administrative team to help the Santiago Christian Academy, which was a school that I graduated from, actually. It was run by ABWE for many, many years as a school for missionary children. But it has since transitioned to a bilingual Christian Chilean school, and they just need some help with that transition. And so we have missionaries on the field who are directing that and everything, but those missionaries, our colleagues, asked if we could come and just help them, basically. Dave, with his business administration background, can help with the administrative piece of that. With my educational background, I can help with the educational piece. We won't be teaching. I'll be working with teachers, doing teacher training, things like that, and he'll be basically an advisor to them. And then in addition to that, we'll continue our church planting, church supporting, and pro-life ministry as a liaison for Florece. We want to visit the churches. We want to share the ministry in Iquique. And then we are really looking for churches in Santiago to start their own centers. We actually had a women from one of the churches in Santiago come up and train with us, but they've never gotten their center off the ground. So I'm hoping that's my first item of business, hoping to encourage them. You've been trained. Let's go. Let's get this center started at your church. And so looking forward to what God's going to do to expand the pro-life ministry in Chile. The other thing that we're really excited about is we will be able to be mentored by veteran missionaries, Dave and Ruth Ann Rogers, who've been in Chile for almost 40 years and are entering their last or maybe next to last term. And we want to, they're basically our last veteran missionaries, so to speak, who've been there for such a long time. And we want to learn everything we can from them to be able to carry on the ministry there in Chile.
Thank you, Terry. And thank you. I know that 30 minutes is not enough time to adequately explain all of what has happened in Chile with our family. And I'm glad that we're going to have a time to ask questions a little bit later, so I appreciate that. I'd like to kind of turn our focus a little bit. If I could get that other PowerPoint up. Okay, what do you see? Yeah, that's what I said when I walked into my class in my second semester at language school. This was on the whiteboard, and I'm thinking, that doesn't really say anything. What do you want me to get out of this, right? But I'll tell you something. I learned more from this whiteboard than I did from all my schooling. It was a very impressive message that he had on this whiteboard. And I'd like to explain three things that I was able to determine or read as we go through this messy whiteboard. These are lessons for me as a missionary, and I think it applies to all of us as we work for the Lord First thing I learned, you are grossly unprepared for missionary work, but Jesus still loves you. But I'm not sure about the natives. You may never really know, likely. And that is true. You may never really know. We go not knowing. We just follow. Number two, 80% of first-term missionaries never return to the field. That is an astounding number to me. But it's a statistic. Statistics don't lie. And I remember David Love saying to all of us that you aren't smart enough, prepared enough, and you will fail miserably. In the language and culture, all of this is a given. So what? You're going to quit? Or what does God have in mind for your failures? That kind of turned me around. We don't like failures. We don't like failing. But you know what? It's part of life. It's part of what we do. It's part of how we learn, how we grow. And I think part of the problem that we face today is how we live these truths out in our own lives. I want to talk to you about the last two points in our PowerPoint presentation. They were, being like Christ is more effective than doing for Christ, and when God calls, He equips and He provides. We are called to be. We're called to be before we should even think about doing. Most of the commands in the New Testament are given for us to be something different. Put on, put off, be the light. We talked about that. It's all talking about being, not doing. Now we're called to do, yes. We are called to do. But that happens organically after we have become what God wants us to be. After we are transformed into being more like Christ, we can do that which Christ wants us to do. Now let's read Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We use this in the PowerPoint presentation. It's a very important verse. Why? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. We can understand what that means. But look at the end of the verse. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That's a hard one. That's the hard one. How do we do that? Paul uses this example of putting on different clothing, but to put on Jesus, very distinct, very interesting picture for us. In your day, we need to remember to put on Christ and put off the fleshly desires that we have. This is a key for us to become what Christ wants us to be. Now, I want to stop right here, and I want to explain something to you. And I think we all know this inherently, but we need to say it, and we need to understand it. We need to process this. Human nature is to go where it's comfortable. Is to go where you know people, you love people, they love you. We shy away from going elsewhere, right? We love coming to church, for instance. This is a family to us. This is our family, our new family. We love it. We love it because we are part of it. This is the light. We love it. But can I just remind us of one thing as we come? We are called to be the light. And we all shine very brightly here this morning. We love this. This is comfortable. But what did God call us to after our salvation? What are we called to? Are we called to the light? Are we called to the darkness? We are called to be the light. But if the light is shining in the light, what good is it? It's of no use. We are called to be the light. We are called to be the light in darkness. We need to be that light in the darkness to shine the light on those who've never seen it. Can you imagine your life without Christ? Where you would be today? You are here today because someone shined the light on you. Correct? Someone went out, possibly out of their way, to shine the light on you so you could have that blessed hope of a Savior. That is what we are called to. And it wasn't clear to me what that meant until I had to do it. And it's the same for all of us. So can I encourage you to go to the darkness, wherever that is in your community, and be the light. Mark 13:11 says, "And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." Another thing we learned is that God will equip and provide. God equips and provides for all things at all times. I wasn't sure if I was ready to go to the mission field or not. What is that? Do you know what that is, going to the mission field? I didn't know what it was. But God thought I was ready. And you know why? Because he would equip and provide me with everything I needed when I needed it. What does this verse tell us? When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say. Don't be anxious beforehand. Why? That is our human nature. He's telling us to act outside of our human nature here. Act outside of it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will be with you. Let me show you another verse. It's just part of a verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders." Now, let's go back. Let's look at this. Peter, what was he? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Did he speak beforehand with power and authority? No. He spoke after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was giving Peter what he needed when he needed it. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives us what we need. And God will do the same for you as you go out into the darkness. Do not fear. God is with you. Be that which God wants you to be, light in the darkness. I just want to remind us, God is looking for us to be the light. Being like Christ is more effective than doing for Christ. Number two, when God calls, he equips and provides. He's looking for us to step up and become something different, something that is unique with our skill sets. Each of us we've got different gifts. But he's asking us to be something different. And with the power of the Holy Spirit with us, We can be that light in the darkness. Let us work hard to be the light and go where he calls, even into the darkness, knowing that he will supply all we need in his timing through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that today, when you leave, you will be that light in the darkness. He will equip, he will provide in his time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for the opportunity to share what has been happening over the past 4 years. And we do pray, Father, you will help us to be something different. Becoming more like Christ, help us to go into the darkness in your name and for your name's sake, knowing that you will provide along the way everything that we need. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.